job. I mean, our motto is love your job. And that starts with me, starts with the team. The people are the business. Without the people, there is no profit. So the people providing the service have got to be happy in the job. Otherwise, the service isn't the best.
Thank you for joining us on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. I'm your host, Leisha Holmes, and I am so proud of what we have achieved as a community since we launched the podcast in the summer of 2020. You're listening to this show because you decided you want to invest whatever time this podcast show takes from your day to actually improve your life, to hopefully create joy, and hopefully to also learn something. We're grateful for every single member of this community. We've never professed that we want to be the biggest podcast that you listen to, but we want to be the best. And by doing so, we're inviting in, we think, the greatest experts in their field to come and share with you, our listener, their experiences, their lessons, their learns, their mistakes, and most importantly, what they'd like to share with you, so that you hopefully can improve what you do and what you achieve. We are so grateful to you for listening and for sharing and for commenting and for continuing to come back week after week. And without you, we wouldn't have the community that we do. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening and for contributing to what is a very special community. We hope to bring you more live shows as we continue to grow our global community. But obviously, our promise to you is that every week you'll drop in and hopefully have a new guest to listen to that will give you something to contribute to your self-improvement and to your high performance. We can't do this without our amazing sponsor, Pager, for whom we are so grateful. And we also have some incredible partners, Needy, Diversity in Recruitment, and Keybridge IT Solutions. Links to all of our sponsors and partners are in the show notes. Please remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when contacting any of them independently, because I'm sure they'll all be happy to offer you a cheeky discount because you've come from such a loyal client base. So without further ado, a few messages from the sponsor and partners, and then let's get to know this week's guest. We are so proud at the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast to be sponsored by Pager. Pager helps recruiters to build personal brands, to identify new business opportunities, to attract those hard-to-find candidates, and to basically have better conversations. Now, you will have a large network that you want to build credibility with on LinkedIn, and sometimes posting content every day feels impossible. Now, that changes once you have Pager. Pager provides you with the ideas, the content, and the scheduling capability to produce daily content to build out your own personal brand in minutes. And for business development too. Pager identifies companies that are advertising jobs, have key hiring indicators such as funding rounds, mergers, acquisitions, or senior appointments, and then alerts you to this daily. Pager also enables you to write candidate-centric job adverts without bias in seconds. So once you advertise your job, Pager will then automatically create a branded post and publish it to LinkedIn without you even having to lift a finger. So when you want to actively source candidates, you can create complex Boolean strings in seconds. All you need to do is to provide the job title and location. Now, Pager is making thousands and thousands of recruiters smarter and faster. For more information, click on the link pager.co to book your demo, and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when inquiring. Now, back to the episode. This next episode is truly joyful, and I wish we could have done a recording of our pre and post Zoom interview so you could really get to know Leanne on a different level. This is Leanne Finnegan, who is the Managing Director of Jobwise and a real rarity in the recruitment market, not least because she has worked with the same business for 30 years of her recruitment career. She started as an administrator and worked her way up through the business and has been managing director for over a decade. And we talk around her evolution as a recruiter and leader herself,
We talk about their role in the recruitment industry as a commercial staffing business and generalist, and very local parochial business, which we do talk about that rather contrary subject, something that I'm very passionate about within my own business. We talk about why recruitment leaders and how recruitment leaders can create a culture where people don't want to leave and feel that they're being valued. And what's the key to that as a recruiter listening now of identifying a future employer that will allow you to create loyalty and never want to leave, for the right reasons, by the way. We also talk about what recruitment models work in terms of avoiding making yourself redundant with AI. So how do you ensure that you will endure as a recruitment person and as a recruitment business leader? And finally, we talk around just the sort of well-being aspect of working in recruitment and what endures. So you're gonna love this episode. Let's jump in without further ado. This is Leisha Holmes, and I'm your host of the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. And I am so excited. I feel like I've got the queen on this week, to be honest with you, because not least, she is somebody that I admire on a personal and professional level, but it's somebody that has been so blooming hard to get on this podcast. I feel like I've had to, you know, jump through hoops, but we're here. This is persistence. I'm only joking. It's just because you're a very, very busy lady. So this is somebody that I think you'll all learn a lot from. From a female leadership point of view, from somebody that's got extreme loyalty and endurance from having been in the recruitment industry for, I think this is now fourth decade. Very hard to believe. So I'd like to welcome to our global community today, Leanne Finnegan, who is the Managing Director of Jobwise Limited. Welcome to you today, Leanne. How are you?
Thank you, Leisha. The honour is mine. Let me tell you, I was very honoured to be invited. Really look forward to it. Yes, I'm good. Thank you. I'm good.
I'm pleased to hear it. Now, I believe even though you've been in recruitment for a very long time, I don't think you've done many podcasts. I think you've done quite a lot of webinars and events and stuff, but you've never actually been on a pod before.
I am a podcast virgin.
Wow. I love it. I love it. And I was just saying to you before we started recording, because anyone that's been listening for a while knows that I do one day a month of recording quite a few, like maybe five or six guests. And everybody today is a female leader, which makes me extremely proud. Mm. We should be forging the way for other people to, you know, come through the ranks, and let's create a world where there's nobody that can't achieve anything they don't want to achieve.
Absolutely.
But to know that you're coming on and doing something that potentially is pushing you out of your comfort zone, but hopefully it'll just feel like a chat between two friends.
I hope so. I hope I don't swear.
If you do, it's absolutely fine, because we're
good.
Usually out of my mouth. If anyone knows me well enough as a host or as a person. So we've got to know each other, because obviously in my day-to-day job as a recruitment consultant, but there'll be plenty of people listening, potentially those especially that aren't based here in the UK, who don't know who Jobwise are and what you do. So give us a brief introduction as to you, your recruitment career, and then Jobwise as a business.
Of course. So I'm in my 32nd year in recruitment, started off as a 19-year-old administrator, and I've gradually worked my way through to take over as MD about 15 years ago. From Bolton, as you can probably tell from my accent, Peter Kay Land, so from Bolton, and Jobwise, family owned, 45 years in the recruitment sector, so obviously established when I joined, and we've gone from strength to strength in my tenure. So commercial, temp and perm, we'll come back to that, I'm sure, as part of the questions as to why we choose to be a generalist commercial agency, temp and perm. But very successful. I've won lots of awards, and extremely proud to be in the MD role.
Oh, I'm sure you are. Well, thank you for that. That was actually an amazing elevator pitch, which was normally take my guests about 10 minutes to answer. So I really appreciate that. And you are the rarity in the truest sense for two reasons, I think, apart from you as a person. One is that you have started your career in the recruitment industry as an admin on the administrative side, and then you've worked your way through, which I do want to talk about that, because I think as we think about future talent pools, should we just be looking down one route, or should we be considering people that are coming through from a business administration? Mm-hmm. And then the second reason, which we will come on to as well, is around that loyalty piece. You know, you have spent your career in one business, and I would love to know that if we can make that a blueprint for how leaders listening can create an environment and a business where people feel so part of something that they don't want to leave over a 30-year period. I mean... Mm-hmm. Do you consider yourself to be a rarity for those two reasons? We can break them up into two parts.
I think I don't consider myself to be a rarity. I think, you know, often people question the fact that you've been so loyal. You know, is it because I'm fearful of moving? It's definitely not. I think over the years, JobWise have given me such an opportunity. But I think I've also got a brain that likes to constantly learn. So if I'm constantly learning, and that might be from the people around me, not just a new task. You know, I'm the business today was not the business 32 years ago. So no matter what business you're in, it evolves, it changes. So I don't see it as sort of a rarity, really. But it is quite rare if you look around. It is, isn't it? It is, let's be honest. But I'd see it as Why wouldn't you?
Because I think if I'm being honest, the reason I think it's rare, and I'm saying this as somebody that's run her own business for nearly 19 years, and I only ever moved jobs twice before that, so I think I was quite rare, is that I think loyalty often gets overlooked, and I think that people often think the grass is greener, and if they didn't, we wouldn't have a job, let's face it, because people wouldn't move jobs. So I think there's a lot to be said for a company that has so many people in the business with you at the forefront as somebody that's been there for 32 years that don't feel like they need to go and explore externally, and what it is about the culture that's allowed you to continue. And I think that you've hit the nail on the head there for me, Leanne, in that it's allowing personal and professional development in a company where you don't feel like you necessarily would get that if you went and moved externally.
And I think that grass is always greener, but it's greener where you water it. So, you know, I think being in recruitment, you do hear of horror stories of people leaving and then actually regretting leaving, or leaving and then, you know, it's worse. Or I think you do, you are more aware of it being in recruitment. But I am a believer of that. The grass is greener where you water it. So, you know.
Do you think you're cynical about those that stay or are seen to outstay? Because I often get... I've got a candidate on the market that say got 6 to 8 years experience. I might have a leader that will say, you know, they should have moved sooner. Well, why? You know, what was it about that? And especially if somebody has done really well and has been a cash cow, if you want to look at it like that, or has just been really happy doing that job, really accomplished, and then things change, they decide to go on the market for whatever the reasons are, and that maybe leaders are sometimes a bit over cynical about that. Like sometimes it just happens to be a timing thing.
I agree. And, you know, the crazy world of recruitment, no 2 days are the same. So, you know, before you know it, 6 years has passed, 32 years have passed. I don't feel any different to how I did when, you know, 19, when I first started. I've still got that hunger, that eagerness, that problem solving ability. You know, and there are still new problems that I am facing today that I've never faced in my career. So I think the crazy world of recruitment, why would you? It's the same sort of role, really, so long as you're getting the right support around you and the people around you are, you know, you're learning from, because I think that is so, so important. The team, the culture, the pastoral side, if you're feeling loved and looked after, why would you want to move?
And so flipping that onto you, is that that's why you've got examples of people that work for you that you've brought into the business that have been with you for, you've got some that have been there for more than a decade, then clearly you're creating that psychologically safe culture for them to feel that they can thrive, be themselves, you know, learn new things. So it's all the things that you have felt, you've ensured as the leader, you are encompassing that for the people that work with you and your team.
Absolutely. You know, that is number one on my agenda, that the team that are around me genuinely love their job. I mean, our motto is love your job. And that starts with me, starts with the team. Absolutely. The people are the business. Without the people, there is no profit. You know, it starts with the people. So the people providing the service have got to be happy in the job, otherwise the service isn't the best. So it does start with me really getting to know the teams, understanding what makes them tick. Everyone's different. Work-life balance is so, so important. You know, I've got two young boys and I compete competitively with horses, as you know. I'm a horse girl. So that whole aspect of my life is as important as my job. And that balance that I need, I think if I didn't have that, I would probably be an addict of some description. But that horse and the kids and the family keeps me balanced and grounded. So whether it be a work addict or I don't know, anyway, we won't go there. But I think that balance is so important. And I think, you know, people coming into recruitment has got a bit of a reputation, hasn't it, of like the Wolf of Wall Street type thing. But it's not like that. It doesn't have to be like that. And I think that work-life balance is so important. And I think that's why people stay loyal. They know that they're listened, they're cared for, genuinely listened to as well. I think that's really getting to know the individual and not treating everybody the same.
I think that you just picked up on a couple of things. First and foremost, I've been in recruitment for 26 years, not quite as long as you, but not far off. And I can probably count on one hand the amount of times I've either met or interviewed the Wolf of Wall Street type person. I don't think that really exists anymore. It probably did. But I think maybe that's through choice of people that I either choose to partner in my day job as a rec to rec or those that I invite on. Very rare I have somebody on that I think, Jesus Christ, you know. But I think that's the first point I want to make. And I think what I'm picking up on there, and I want to come on to this before we move on actually, is that in order to create a culture of people that feel joy in their job, and that feel that they're listened to is actually really quite a simple human interaction of listening and communicating. It's not rocket science. It doesn't cost loads of money. It's just that kind of proverbial open door policy of come and talk to me, explain to me, things change. So if we've got one person listening now, because let's face it, there are lots of people out there in our industry who haven't experienced this and are seen as the job hoppers, you know, they're the ones that do move on every couple of years, maybe through choice, maybe not through choice. What would you do to advise them of how they find the right company to create that longevity?
We are so proud to be partners of Needy, the gifting revolution. Here at Key Recruitment, we absolutely love to send out bespoke gifts to our new place candidates to welcome them in their new jobs, but also as an extra special thank you to clients or when a team is celebrating something really special. But to be honest, we were really fed up with dull or mediocre gifts that you could just buy on the high street that didn't really reflect who we are at Key Recruitment as a business. This is why we chose Needy. Needy source sustainably from the UK's best independent businesses, offering the most perfect array of bespoke gifts and experiences too. So no more boring bottles of plonk or rubbish boxes of chocolates. This is how you make your customers' day with a gift that really matters and shows that you really want to do something special for them. For more information on how psychology and AI forming to make the best gift experience for you, click on the link and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when ordering. Now, back to the episode.
That's a really good question, Leisha. I think from my point of view, it's all about the culture. Mm. So the culture is not what you do, it's the how you do it. Yeah. So if I was an employee looking for a new employer, I would be making sure, you know, I'm doing my due diligence and checking out the culture, their average length of service. It's not just about what's on the benefits brochure either. You know, what's on the benefits brochure is one thing, but actually what's lived, lived in the teams is really important. And you do hear, you know, not just in recruitment, but in other employers, some really tough things where, you know, maybe people has had a bereavement, but they're not supported through that. I think that life-changing, that's just, wow, gosh, you know. I think, and I do, loyalty is also earned as well. It's a two-way thing. So, you know, don't let's jump, you know, over the bridge and it's all on the employer, down to the employee as well to commit and bring their, play their part. But I think ultimately, you know, that culture and the people is number one.
I always think if I may just add my expert opinion on this, for those listening whose ears have pricked up, there are two really important questions that I think you need to ask if you are going out for an interview and you are very aware that you're starting to look like you're jumpy and it's actually maybe out of your, certainly the last few years, we've had quite a tumultuous few years. You ask the question during the interview, if things are not going well in my day job here, how will you support me? Even just asking that question, you can see their response to that. And I would like to think that they would work through with you. They would understand why things aren't going well. It wouldn't be, well, what do you mean? You know, if it's a shock question, that implies to me that they don't have that even in their psyche, which is not a good sign.
Yeah.
Ask them, or you can ask it in a different way. But then the second part of that is, how do you cope? How have you been supported? Unless it's the business owner, but how have you been supported here if things haven't gone well? Because I think it's very telling to understand culturally what their personal experience has been of somebody that you're going to be working with day to day. You could actually ask that during the process if you get to meet team members. And I don't think it's an intrusive question. I think it's very telling. And I think right to ask those sorts of questions, particularly those that either conversely have had far too many jobs or those who are, they've got a lot to lose by moving, which, you know, we have all people listening. So I really appreciate you taking time to listen. Now, you said in your introduction that you're a Bolton girl. So for anyone that's listening that doesn't know where Bolton is, that maybe, you know, outside the UK, that's it's a beautiful town in, is it Greater Manchester or Lancashire? It's very controversial.
It is controversial. Lancashire, but Greater Manchester, really.
It's just one of those very, it's a bit like where I live. It's like we've got a Rochdale phone number and a Bolton postcode. But you as a business, you alluded to this before, you're commercial, so it's staffing, so it's temporary, and you do the permanent. Mm-hmm. So explain to me why you think you have endured in an environment where most recruitment companies and leaders that come on my podcast talk about niching down, vertical, vertical. Explain to me what you think the benefits and advantages have been.
Here at the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast, we are passionate about creating a psychologically safe community where everybody feels that they belong. By doing so, we are truly being diverse, equitable, and inclusive in every guest that we bring on, which is why we are so proud of our beautiful partner, Diversity in Recruitment. Diversity and Recruitment help recruitment businesses understand diversity, equity and inclusion in a way that makes sense. Their training and advisory work is designed and delivered by experienced recruitment professionals, giving your teams the insight, the tools and the confidence to attract diverse talent, to recruit inclusively, to improve your candidate journey and confidently partner with your clients. DE&I doesn't have to be complicated and scary. It's simply about fair, ethical, and high quality recruitment, something that we are so passionate about, the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. And thank you for listening to this message.
Absolutely. And it's something that I have had questions around for many years. Should we be going more niche? Should we be going more vertical? And I think the answer comes down to the relationships we've got with our local SME clients. So ideal client is our local SME from startups through to obviously 250-ish staff. There obviously is a place for niche verticals, RPO type agencies, but we've hung our hat and stuck with the fact that we are a generalist, but it's the local geographical areas that we service. And we've got some brilliant relationships off the back of that. I think the high touch consultative service that we offer is quite differential in some cases to other similar companies in that we go out and meet all our clients. We were talking at the start, Leisha, weren't we? You know, that's something that I do as well. So literally drop in on clients and some goodie bags. Companies love that. It's that personal touch that I think in recruitment with all the AI and the tech and all that and white noise going on, that's what we've got to get back to, that making a difference and adding value.
Can I just pause there for anyone who we were talking about this off camera? If you do listen, last week's episode was with Victoria Forshaw, who's the founder of Forshaw Recruitment, and she gave her absolute brainstorm in how she gets 98% results on her business development tactics. And I'm not going to reveal all, you need to go and listen back to that episode. But what Leanne is saying, it does allude to it, is it's that personal touch, that physical presence with your customer, with your client, with your candidate, of building that long-term relationship. And look, I don't know about you, Liam. We talked about this off camera. We've talked about it before. But, you know, we all use technology. We're recording now on technology, for God's sake. You know, we've got AI in our lives. We've got our smartphones. We've got, I mean, Siri is my best friend. Couldn't live without Siri now. And that's
don't
all.
Don't say that too loud. My watch will hear you.
I'm sorry. I was thinking that about, I might not say that river that runs through the you know what I mean. But if we are to stop ourselves becoming redundant, which is already happening in certain sectors because they rely too heavily on automation, they rely too heavily on that outreach through, you know, the e-shop mechanisms, I genuinely think that we're going to kind of go full circle almost and arrive at a point in the next, I would say, 1 to 2 years, that soon, where we'll see fewer recruitment agencies, we'll see fewer recruiters, which I guess as a rec to rec is a bit of a concern, but actually there'll be better recruiters, they'll be more consultative and they'll actually make more money and be more productive. What do you think about my prediction?
I absolutely agree with you. I think it's happened before, hasn't it? When we've been through any change in any key way of servicing, that there have been the ones that aren't keeping, you know, it's relationships. Relationship comes down to relationships. So I am absolutely adamant, and it's not an age thing, as my children often tell me, but I'm adamant that nothing replaces tech. You know, picking up the phone and speaking to a client about a potential candidate that you've just interviewed, you can't get that across on an email or even, you know, a video recording. It's real. It's real life. So I think you've got to embrace tech, obviously. You've got to embrace AI to a degree in automation. But I think, you know, that people instinct, it's not got that instinct. It's not got a gut. Tech's not got a gut.
It hasn't got nuance. It hasn't got instincts. It hasn't got intuition. It hasn't got insight. Yet, if you listen to your Mo Gordatz and your Stephen Bartlett podcast, which I mean, listen, that Yuval Harari one, which I have to say I couldn't complete yet. I've gone and bought his new book, Nexus. But this is all words of caution of how we are adapting as species, as recruiters. We're using the technology and the AI to make us more efficient, to cut out the bits that we probably don't spend our time doing, but it's to allow us more time for meaningful conversations, for relationships. And you're right, actually. We don't even have to think that far back. You know, even as a new recruiter, COVID is literally, 4 years ago? Yeah. And we saw then this evolution. We're in a constant evolution anyway as an industry. If I think back to, you know, post-recession of 2009, even going back even further, I mean, I'm possibly losing some of the audience here, but even to 2000, the post-millennium book, which never happened, by the way.
Yeah, it didn't.
It was the biggest hoo-ha light, and then it never happened. Go and Google it if you don't know what we're talking about. but we evolve and we adapt. And I think what we always come back to is that human connection. And I think that's where, you know, maybe people are rolling their eyes at us because I call myself the parochial rectorate because I only do the Northwest. I don't do anything global. If anybody's outside of the Northwest or I can't get to meet them, we don't partner them. It's as simple as that. We pass them on, but I'm not that stupid. Commercially, I'll pass on to a rectorate that maybe does cover it and we'll get split. I'm not stupid. But I love that, the fact that I can just jump in the car, go and meet somebody for a coffee, see their offices, you know, meet a candidate I've placed. That's why we do what we do, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's almost asking, you know, AI can ask a question, you can give an answer. I think if you were sat in front of somebody and they gave you an answer, you can question their answer rather than it being an automation thing. I think it is, yeah, seeing the eyeballs, there's nothing that can replace that, nothing. And I am a bit worried, I suppose, in a way, about the future of recruitment with the, you know, is the call the Gen Zs coming in that maybe are a bit frightened of picking up the phone and, you know, frightened of having a meeting? I think it's down to us to make sure the coaching and the training is with that in mind, you know, that they're given the confidence to go out and meet people.
But the best way to do
that, I think,
that's
really important. That's part of my role.
It is to buddy up. So if you're, I mean, you're listening now, you're either a leader or you are the Gen Zer, and we've obviously then got Gen Alpha, which, let me tell you, Gen Alpha, Gen Alpha kids, they will be even less likely to want to pick up the phone because they have entirely grown up in COVID times on their phones. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you buddy these people up. Their training and coaching will be very different to how we were trained, even 10 years ago, how people were trained. Mirror the behaviours of human interaction. It's what I'm living it now with my daughter, Lilia. She started here in July, and she literally comes on every meeting. She comes on every call, whether it's a video call, or she listens into every phone call. She's coming on every candidate client meeting. She's not listening today because she's actually on the phone interviewing people, believe it or not, because she's mirroring what I've been doing. But Shannon as well, she has her own style. And I think we are in real danger of losing the interest of an entire generation by forcing upon them how it worked for us and how it has worked for us, because the world has adapted in that way. Yeah. But we can encourage them in different ways. I think it's just the coaching style needs to change, in my opinion.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that, you know, we've got trainees, we're constantly looking to recruit trainees as well and develop them. So people joining JobWise do not need recruitment experience at all. We, in fact, to be honest, our major successes have been from people that have got no experience, because it's a bit more of a blank canvas. But I think ultimately, you know, it is leading by example. You know, I'm still involved in client transactions. The other directors, the more senior managers, are still involved in the client transactions. That is so important. But one of their objections is, you know, I can't get hold of people anymore. They're not in the offices. They're not answering the mobile phone. They're not like maybe they were a few years ago. But we've got LinkedIn. We've got the World Wide Web. You know, when I started in recruitment, we didn't have the World Wide Web. Do you remember when it was called out, the World Wide Web?
We only had one computer in the whole office, and you weren't.
Oh, we didn't have any. We didn't have any. Typewriter we had to do the assessments on, and they used to go like that and go. Probably before a lot of the listeners' time.
Let's not go there with fax machine. No, I agree with you. I think that this is where you can die a death by the tools that we have. And hide behind that, or you can say to yourself, right, and I know that you're a big part component of this next part, which is that, you know, going to networking events, getting yourself involved in your local community. There's so much collaboration now. You think back to even 10 years ago, people just didn't share information amongst competitors, for example. Mm. There's so much information out there. And I think where, for me, the risk is leaving a Gen Z, or, you know, even somebody that's maybe a late millennial, just to kind of fend for themselves on LinkedIn. You could literally lose your entire day on that. You have to have a strategy behind it. And I think it has to be combined with some more traditional techniques of doing business development on the phone. I mean, that it doesn't need to be a hello, please may I speak to. We're not talking that level, because I don't take calls like that, do you? I don't.
No, not at all.
Or you go and do your research. You go and think, right, well, there's an event coming up. And that's the reason for your call. We'd like to invite you to an event that we're hosting as a business. Yeah. That's what Lily's doing to BD. She's messaging leaders and asking them if they want to come on the podcast. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, it is.
Most say no. I don't know.
only fools like me. Being on camera. Because talking about networking, Lisa, I am a natural introvert. My psychometric testing says that I'm an introvert. So actually being in front of clients, whilst I love it, I absolutely love it, I find it really draining. And I need to go and lie down in a dark room after I've been networking. That's why I do it, I think, to be honest. I think that's why I do it, you know, looking after the horses. I'm not speaking to anyone, but I am a natural introvert. But I think it was drummed into me quite early on in my career that there is absolutely a huge benefit to it. So I'll do it. If I know why I'm doing something, I'll do it. And I think, again, that comes down to training newer people in recruitment. You've got to explain the why. It's not just the you've got to do your 20 calls this week. It's not about that. You know, the KPI model, it's about your RPI, you know, your results, what you're getting out of it. And the understanding the why.
We're going to talk about RPI more. I'm saying not we, but we generally as an industry. And actually, I think, you know, let's take one step back a bit and we think about diversity and inclusion. You know, when we look at neurotypical people, who it's always been the extroverts, and it's nonsense. That's totally moved away from that now. And I think, you know, the narrative out there is that, you know, to have a truly diverse and inclusive industry, we have to think about all the different complexities of personality and traits. rates and maximizing. I'm actually classed as an ambivert, and everyone thinks I'm this massive extrovert and really sociable. And I look back to even back in my 20s where I probably had less fear. You know, I think maybe you don't give a shit when you're in your 20s, do you? But I would go to networking events and I would actually purposefully just spend the whole evening talking to the two people sat either side of me. The end of that evening, I had their business cards, I had meetings booked in, and they would become clients. And then I'd see like colleagues who would be at the same event, and they'd be at the bar, smashed, you know, buying drinks for everyone, and not actually get an RPI on it.
True.
Actually get business out of it. So I think it's really important to think about that if you're listening now and you naturally are quite shy or introverted, that we're not asking you to go and stand on a stage and shout and sing. We're just saying, think about how you can make these methods work for you. I actually think because of LinkedIn, you don't necessarily need to put yourself out there, but there's a way to do it. And I think you have to push yourself out of your comfort zone ultimately, but there are different ways you can nuance, I think, business development techniques. Doesn't need to be one way for all, in my opinion.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
I'm glad we agreed on that. you've almost reached the end of your first ever podcast. So I'd like to know how for those listening, I'm always shouting out for new podcast guests from leaders across the globe. And as somebody who I know you're very confident in terms of your business and how you present yourself, how has that felt for you?
Quite uncomfortable. I think, I don't know. I think from my point of view, I'm quite a humble being. You know, I get the fact that I'm leading this amazing business. I love the fact that but when I'm talking to people, even when I'm talking to friends and family, I don't big myself up. I never have. I think proof is in the pudding often, you know, and I think that's one of my traits. And I think it's one of my traits that I look for when I'm recruiting as well. That humility and that I love to surround myself with better people than me. I think that's really important for any business leader. You know, I think you'd be really arrogant to think that wasn't a positive thing. But no, it's good. It does make you reflect, doesn't it? You know, I would highly encourage it to people to join you, Lucia. You being so amazing at supporting me.
No, but I mean, two points. First of all, I knew that when you messaged me before we went live yesterday that I knew that this was a good reflection of your achievements. So, you know, it's a great way to kind of take some time and not navel gaze as such, but just think like, this is amazing as a person, what you've achieved. But I think the second, you know, to segue, I guess, back to the first question that I asked around, you know, encouraging longevity and creating loyalty. I think you're absolutely right. I think it's, you are humble as a person. And I would like to see more leaders sharing that and encouraging that within ourselves, because we then move away from this misconception that recruitment is all about commission and all about money and all about, you know, who's got the flashiest car, when actually it's about who did the best job for those people. And that's internal and external customers. And I just think, for me, that's what I've always been about. The best practice and the best recruiters are the ones that do it for the gain of everybody else, not for themselves.
Agreed. And that's why I like sort of said at the start about it being about the people, not the profit. If you look after the people, the profit will follow. I think that's so, so important. You know, it is. And I think that sort of, it also gives that, you know, people approach me, I'm approachable, you know, come to me with questions. You know, I'm not fearful of anyone asking me anything about the business. Not always be what they want to hear, but
there's no such thing as a stupid question. No. And don't be afraid to listen to the answer. No, I mean, look, if that's not a beautiful way to launch you into podcast world, and I know that there'll be plenty of people that will have listened to this and will just found you so refreshing, and you are just wonderful. And I, you know, I admire you as a businesswoman and as a mum, and, you know, I know you've got amazing sporting prowess as well. And I, you know, I love everything about you. I think you're a wonderful person and a great ambassador for our industry. So thank you so much for joining us on the
Recruit. Thank you, Lucia.
Welcome.
As a listener of the Recruiters Recruitment podcast, you'll know from some of the guests that I have that really I'm not a very technically minded person. And for that reason, it's really important as a recruiter in my day job to have the best technical support. And who better than our very proud partner, Keybridge IT Solutions. They provide 24/7 support to all their customers. And given that I'm probably the most technophobe of all the people that you could be talking to right now, trust me when I say they are phenomenal at what they do. They've been established since 2010, and they provide a fully managed IT support and solutions provision with specialities including Microsoft's cloud, Office 365, Microsoft 365, Microsoft Azure, internet connectivity. I don't even know what I'm saying, basically, but basically they really help you. They work across every industry, not just recruitment. So if you're listening to this outside recruitment, they could help you too. Marketing, finance, leisure, charity. But basically what I'm trying to say is, if as a business owner, you need full 24/7 IT support and solutions, Keybridge IT Solutions are the ones for you. Thank you so much for listening to this message.